Hello, Cleveland, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Dogland Podcast. It's our first episode in a couple weeks. I was on vacation. Obviously, I was down in Miami last week for the Dolphins game, so wasn't able to record, but we're finally back at it. I'm Jackson McCurry, and joining me as always is my co-host, Anthony Jokey. Anthony, how are you doing, buddy?
I could be better. I've been coughing for 3 weeks, and I apologize if a few of those come through on the podcast today, but coughing and busy at work. It's just a sad time of year with the holidays, so hopefully everybody has a good Thanksgiving this week, but it could be better, and obviously the football team could be better too, to say the least, after the last couple of weeks after the bye week.
Yeah, without a doubt. And before we get started, need I remind everybody, we are the Dogland Podcast. This is part of Dogs by Nature, SB Nation and Vox Media. But yeah, we're here to break down the Browns' loss to the Buffalo Bills, 31-23. The Browns are now 3-7. They've lost six of their last seven. This has not been a fun time. It's another one of those stretches of Browns football that just hasn't been a good time. It looks like if you look at it, Anthony, you look at the score 31-23, and then you look at the box score, and you would think this was a really close game. And in some aspects, you look at the box score and it's like, how did the Browns lose this game today? But if you watch the game, you will know that like the box score and the actual game were like two different stories of how this game played out, because, you know, you look and you see the Browns out through the Buffalo Bills. They had more first downs. They were better on third down. They allowed fewer sacks. You know, they had less penalties. They had the time of possession. They had more first downs. Pretty much every aspect of this game would say the Browns should have won this game, but ultimately at the end of the day, they didn't do enough. And, you know, that's why like people will look at the box score and say, hey, well, you know, the Browns played a really good game. You watched the tape or you watched it live on TV today, you'll know exactly that the Browns just did not come out and play very good football against a team in Buffalo who didn't bring their A game on Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, I would imagine with everything that they went through this week and the extra travel and, having to dig out of their driveways and stuff has something to do with that. But yeah, you started to paint the picture, and I'll finish it there. You know, you look at the box score, you see Josh Allen has 18 completions, 27 attempts, 197 yards and a touchdown. You see Stephon Diggs only had 4 catches for 48 yards. Gabe Davis, 5 catches for 68 yards. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you scroll down a little bit further, you see their kicker. They had 6 field goals today. And you're like, oh, Browns defense did a good job of, you know, getting off the field. And you look at the other side, you see Jacoby Brissett, 324 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Amari Cooper, 8 catches, 113, 2 touchdowns. And you're like, well, the Browns must have, you know, won this game and was able to outscore Buffalo because they made them kick so many field goals. But, you know, they just couldn't get the run game going today. And I think the biggest statistic, Nick Chubb, 14 carries, 19 yards. I mean, when you see that one, that kind of paints a picture for the offense. And then on the other side of that, Singletary and James Cook combined, 29 carries for 172 yards. And that shows you what happened on the defensive side and why Buffalo was able to move the football. You know, it's the running game has been the defensive side has been an issue all year. And we've talked about it with the, you know, poor defensive tackle play, among other things. You would think that, like you said, that the Browns looking at it, the Browns should have won this one. But despite holding Buffalo to 6 field goals, you still would have had to score 32 points to beat them. And when you play Buffalo, you almost have to put up 30, 35 points to even have a chance. And unfortunately, the Browns were able to do that in key spots. You know, they had a field goal blocked. They weren't able to score when he got in the red zone. They fumbled in Buffalo territory. So you look at all those things, and that all adds up to not winning today, despite the statistics maybe showing otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the biggest reason why the Browns lost today was the run defense. And, you know, you mentioned they gave up 172 yards. This is the fifth time already this season they've given up 160 yards or more on the ground. Each one of those times they've done that, they've lost. Last week they did it in Miami. This week they did it obviously against Buffalo. And it's just this run defense, and you know, this isn't just a thing that's happened this year. It seems like every year since 99, the Browns just have not been able to stop the run by any means necessary. But this year, it just seems like it's that much worse. I think back to the Chargers game last week against Miami and this week against Buffalo. Teams that aren't like for the year haven't been great running the ball, and the Browns go in thinking, at least our thought process is, they got to stop the pass attack, or, you know, they got to find ways to limit what the quarterback does. And Josh Allen obviously is very mobile, and he has a big chunk of the Bills rushing yards this season. And, but this week, you know, Devin Singletary and James Cook, you know, they've been decent running the ball. Obviously, the Bills were in the market to get McCaffrey or Kamara at the trade deadline. But, you know, this week, Singletary and Cook just ran all over the Browns defense. And that's been like a continuous thing for teams that haven't been strong running the ball. And I think of those three games in mind, the Chargers, the Dolphins, and the Bills, where, you know, I think the Browns go in thinking limit the passing attack. And then once again, like, these teams just gash the Browns defense with the run, something that they might not have expected. But unfortunately, it did happen once again. And it's just a shame that this defense has so much talent. And Myles Garrett said it after the game, like, they cannot waste, this Browns team cannot waste the talent that's on this roster in their primes right now. They have to figure things out. And, you know, the run defense has just been a very, very, very disappointing thing this season. But it goes back to Andrew Berry not focusing on, you know, putting talent at the defensive tackle position, or, you know, upgrading pieces at the linebacking position. We've had injuries with Walker and Phillips, and obviously JOK was back today from injury, and he, I think, had a really good game. He was making plays, but that middle of the defense has just been a very sore spot throughout the whole season, and it was another disappointing thing today.
Yeah, it's been really rough to watch all year long. And Jack, I swear, if, you know, next week Tampa Bay runs all over us, it's going to be something, because through 10 games this year, they have 707 rushing yards as a team. They're only averaging 70 yards on the ground every game. So if they come in here into Cleveland next week and roll, you know, run 150 yards, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know what more you got to see. But, you know, there's really not much you can do personnel-wise this time of year to, you know, add things to the defensive line. I'm sure you can get a player here and there, but how much are they really going to contribute, you know, off the streets or off the waiver wire? Schematically, you're so far into the season that you would think that most of everything's installed by now, to where a lot of this would be shored up. It just isn't. And I don't understand what it is, because there's a lot of talent on this defense. There seems to constantly be communication and things of that nature. So between the defensive leadership and the defensive staff, there's just a huge disconnect. And when there's such a huge disconnect like that, it just unfortunately causes things to unravel so quickly. And you've seen it over the last few weeks. You mentioned all those games there with Buffalo and Miami, et cetera. You've just seen the run defense just get worse and worse every week. And how Andrew Berry overhauled the offensive line, the defensive line, and the linebacking core, that needs to happen next. You know, he's done a good job of adding a couple pieces, obviously, JOK. You know, the defensive secondary, Emerson seems to be a really nice player. But there's, in that front seven, there has to be a lot of changes going into next season. You know, they don't have their first round pick, obviously, but they still have their second and free agency, which I don't think they'll be a huge factor because of the cap situation. But you have to find a way to shore this up, and we'll see if it's a coordinator change too that goes with it. But there's just an overhaul that needs to take place because right now it's just not working.
No, it's really not. And you know, Barry was able to, you know, patch the holes when he could at, you know, D tackle, you know, Malik McDowell and Malik Jackson last year. Like, there wasn't glaring holes there. We obviously knew they were short-term fixes. You know, they drafted Jordan Elliott during this time. They drafted Tommy Togiai, Perrion Winfrey. None of them have really made any immediate impacts. I think that they could be long-term building blocks here on that interior of the defensive line. You know, Taven Bryan was another guy on a one-year deal. Who knows what his future holds. But yeah, that defensive tackle room just got completely underlooked. You know, Ndamukong Suh over the summer wanted to come to Cleveland. It just seemed like Browns weren't interested. I don't know if it was the age. I don't know if it was just, you know, the analytics. When you looked at his PFF grades, they weren't great. He obviously signed with Philly last week as they're looking to, you know, make a Super Bowl run and bolstering their defensive line with some veterans. Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what they need to look at next. Same with the linebacking room. Like, they have JOK, there's a building block. You know, they traded for Deion Jones. He's been lackluster so far. Taki Taki's a free agent after this year. Tony Fields, you know, promising, you know, developmental piece perhaps, but there's just not enough pieces there. Like, there's another position group that they need to spend a little more at. I think they took the money ball approach at linebacker and defensive tackle, you know, as they looked to build up, you know, the pass rushing room and the secondary. But like, you have to divvy it up. You have to, you know, spend a little more, I think, in those spots, whether it's with draft capital or in free agency. Like, they have to get some talent in those rooms. You can't just go, you know, we're going to go cheap in these rooms and then, you know, go top heavy in the other rooms. Like, you have to give equal share, I think, to all the position groups. I think it's the best way to build a team. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they approach it this offseason. Do they make changes to it, or they continue to do the same thing? And, you know, I think it's apparent at this point that there's going to be a new voice leading that defensive room. You know, I think Joe Woods will end up getting let go at the end of the season. I think it's warranted because there's been times where it does not look good on that defensive side of the ball. Part of it's the execution by the players. Part of it's the effort by the players. And I think they should be held just as accountable. But I think it seems, Anthony, that, you know, they want a new voice. And the fact that Myles Garrett, who's, you know, unequivocally the leader of that defense, has spoken out publicly 2 weeks in a row now about what's going on, whether it's in practice or on game day, about what's going on that side of the ball. I think that speaks volumes that there needs to be a change made, because when the leader of the defense seems really frustrated about the things that are going on, I think that should be a wake up call to the organization that, you know, they need to make changes on that side of the ball for sure.
Yeah. And also the quote from Grant Delpit, who's really not a leader on the defense, but he said after the game, somebody asked them how to fix the trust in the run game. on defense, and he said, in order to have trust, you have to know what you're doing. I mean,
and that is a lot
that's pretty
coming,
damning.
And that's damning coming from him, who hasn't been the greatest player this year. But I mean, he has shown flashes. I think today he made some plays, but yeah, that speaks volume when a guy like Grant Delpit's speaking out about the issues on defensively.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe schematically he's being put in such a bad position that it just shows, you know, what we see as him being a very bad player. You know, it could be that too. Like, they're asking him to do too much, and it's just not working. And, you know, we see things. You know, I know you and I don't like constantly break down film, but when we see some of these coverages that are blown or other things, and, you know, we see Grant Delpit near there, or it looks like he's supposed to go with that receiver, cover this guy in the flat, whatever they ask him to do. Maybe on this defense, there's just way too much being asked of some of these guys, and that's why all this miscommunication stuff continues to happen. It's incredible that it's caught on 10 games into the season now. You know, you would think after the Jets game and that debacle that it would have been fixed there, but it's just something that's continued to happen. And there's just something that has to change, and I think it will too. I'm with you. I think after this season, I would say probably half the coaching staff won't be here. I don't think Joe Woods will be here, and I don't think Mike Prefer will be here, because how many times can you have a field goal blocked in a season? This is what, the third time, fourth time this year?
Yeah, I think so.
You rarely see, you know, teams get one or two blocked every year, let alone like three or four. So, I mean, look, it now Jerome Ford, you know, that the returns were nice today, but, you know, there's just these things that seem to be repeat problems that aren't getting addressed. And you just have to wonder why. You just have to wonder, why are we still making these same mistakes week after week after week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were going to get to special teams because that was another glaring hole. But yeah, I mean, since you brought it up, like Cade York, like the trajectory of the ball was not as an issue. And it has been, obviously. I think you said it's four blocked kicks. And, you know, you look at it, like the trajectory of the ball is so low and he's kicking that. Like, is that being taught? Like, or is Cade doing that on his own and he's not obviously getting the right coaching to improve that? Like, that's an issue. The return, like kick coverage, Nyheim Hines had some great returns, both punt return and kick return today. And Bjorkwez, he's taken a step backwards. I thought he was great at the beginning of the year punting the ball, and now he looks worse. Like, there's big issues on that side of the ball. I don't know how Mike Prefer still has a job right now. We're recording at 8:30 on Sunday night. Like, he should have been fired in Detroit. Like, I understand, like, teams don't like making in-season changes, but when these same things keep happening week after week, like, you, like, not making any changes, and I don't know if, you know, Stefanski's being told from above not to make changes. I don't know if he's, like, too loyal. I've made the comparison that he's been like Tito Francona when it comes to loyalty to his guys. Like, at some point, that's why people are getting fed up with Stefanski, and that's a big issue, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's just not good when the mistakes keep happening week after week after week. They're not getting better, and you, for an organization that is, that preaches accountability is not being forced upon. And I think that's why a lot of fans are getting frustrated with the whole organization for, you know, preaching smart, tough accountability, and then they're not implementing that at the same time. So, but you had mentioned, Anthony, about like the coverage breakdowns, the touchdown to Stephon Diggs, I think it was in the third quarter, or no, the end of the first half, Bills take the lead. He's wide open. And we're all wondering, like, how did he get left wide open? Because like the entire first half, he had not gotten targeted. He was getting frustrated, went to McDermott on the sideline and was like, can you guys like open things up to get me the ball? And then lo and behold, he's wide open in the ends back of the end zone. And ESPN puts up the next gen animation, and we're trying to figure out in our group chat who's to blame for this. Is it AJ Green? Is it Denzel Ward? Is it Greedy?
Like Emerson.
Emerson. That's what I was trying to think. It was Greedy or Emerson. Who's to blame on that? And like, I've seen five different people have five different answers. Like, we still couldn't figure it out. I don't know if Denzel was supposed to pick up Gabe Davis and Emerson was supposed to get Diggs. Like, and it seems like from what I saw, they were in man coverage and Denzel was in a whole different coverage just because he didn't move. So was he in zone and everybody else was in man? Like, I don't know who is calling the plays. I didn't see Deion Jones out there today. I saw JOK and Fields for the most part. So like, who was the green dot? Was it John Johnson? Like, this has been the constant thing all season. The miscommunications, the breakdowns in coverage. Like, I don't know what the issues are, but it just seems like week after week, it's still there. It's not getting fixed. And like, we just want answers. And of course, Stefanski, he's saying like, he's not going to call anybody out publicly. That's what the players are obviously trying to do. But like, why aren't things getting fixed? What's going on in practice? Myles Garrett talked about like stuff not getting implemented in practice or being focused on. And it's like, what is going on when the media goes away after they get their little viewing session of practice every day? Like, what are they doing in there?
That's a great question, because if we had an answer, I think it would show on the football field.
Yeah.
And the fact that nothing is, I think that's your answer. It just, like we said, week after week, it's the same thing. It's been the same result. I don't know, and they would never admit it if they just feel because of the 11 game suspension, if they just thought it was almost a wasted year, try to make the best out of it we can, and we'll roll into next year. They would never admit doing that, but it's just I don't understand. We'll see if things change in a couple weeks, when the quarterback comes back. But, I going into next Sunday against Tampa Bay, there just has to be a drastic improvement, because if Tampa Bay comes in here into Cleveland next week and things aren't pretty on the field, there's going to be a very vociferous bunch in that stadium towards the end of the game, if not, a lot earlier than that, depending on what the score is like. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and how they can rebound after this one.
Yeah, without a doubt. Next Sunday against Tampa is going to be really interesting to see how they come out and how they perform and how it looks towards the end of the game. But as we talked about the defense enough, let's go to the offense. The offense, they came out, guns a-blazing, like they have pretty much every game this season. They drive right down the field. They lose Ethan Posick in one of the first couple plays with a knee injury. That's going to be interesting to see what happens, because Michael Dunn just went on IR and he would have been Posick's backup. So they had to put Froholt in, and he got obliterated, I think, all game long. But the Browns, drove down the field. Jacoby Brissett, connected with Amari Cooper. Anthony, like, I don't know how much more we would have expected out of Jacoby Brissett, but I think he's done as good a job as he could this season. Today he throws for over 300 yards. Yeah. Towards the end of it, obviously, it was garbage time. The Browns try to make it a game late, but 324 yards, three touchdowns overall in the season. He's completed 64%, which I think is the biggest key of his success, because this is a career high for him in terms of completion percentage. So I think kudos goes towards Drew Petzing, the quarterback coach, Alex Van Pelt, and Stefanski for the work they've done with Jacoby Brissett. He's thrown for almost 2,400 yards, 11 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Like, he hasn't done anything to like win us a game in terms of like a game winning drive or a fourth quarter comeback. He has lost us some games with his poor throws late against Atlanta and the Jets. But Jacoby's done a masterful job, I think, with this offense. I think they're still top 10 in scoring, which is mind-boggling. I don't think any of us would have predicted that 10 games into a season that Jacoby Brissett was going to do this, but he's done a great job. And I think he's earned himself a nice payday once he gets into the offseason and free agency. I don't think he'll be back here as the backup, but he's going to find himself a job in this league for a few more years just because of what he's been able to do despite all the circumstances here in Cleveland this year.
Oh yeah, you look at some of the backups that were signed last offseason, Brissett and Trubisky and Mariota, some of these other guys, and Jacoby's obviously outplayed them all. There's no reason why he wouldn't get like a 2 or 3 year deal, maybe at a team that's looking to rebuild. Maybe Geno Smith might be the one lone exception. He's played well out of Seattle, but Jacoby's played well. You read off his stat line there, no issues with that. I mean, 2,400 yards in 10 games, 240 yards a game from a backup quarterback. You can't complain about that. But the issue with Brissett at quarterback is another stat that we found after the game. Jacoby doesn't have the arm to beat you deep. And before today, the Browns did not have a touchdown pass of 15 yards or more. The one in the first what was that, the first quarter to Cooper, that was 22 yards. That was the longest one that they've had this year. With no threat to beat these defenses deep, these defenses have been able to just kind of tee off and load the box. And that's why you see, like today, Nick Chubb, those carries and only 19 yards. Obviously, that will change here in a couple of weeks. So there will be that threat, one, to throw deep, two, to be able to beat defenses with your feet. But Jacoby's done everything that has been asked of him and probably even more. He's been a very nice leader on offense, and you can't ask, I think, for excuse me, you can't ask for anything more than what he's done this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's done as good as he could, despite all the circumstances, like I said. And he's just a good dude. Like, he comes to the press conference, he owns if he plays like crap, and he always has a smile on his face, always says he's gonna get better. And I think he's gotten better week after week. I think the fact that he's limited his turnovers for the most part, he tries not to get sacked often. He does hold onto the ball long sometimes, and I think his mobility is something that a lot of people didn't expect out of him. Like, he's not obviously like the other mobile quarterbacks in this league, but he can get around. Like, he's had, I forget the number of how many rushing yards he's had, but I think he's surprised me with how mobile he is despite his limited speed. But he can move in around the pocket, which is something I think Stefanski always wanted out of his quarterback. And he's created plays with his legs. So we really could not ask much more out of Jacoby Brissett. And obviously next week's going to be his last start. But he's done a masterful job, I think, as the Browns starting quarterback. Amari Cooper, I think, continues to have great performance after great performance. Today, 113 yards on 8 catches and 2 touchdowns. He's already at 7 receiving touchdowns on the year. I think he's top 5 in the league. I think that was the tweet you had shared with us earlier. But yeah, he had a great performance today, made some unbelievable catches. One, he had a foot out of bounds, but like that first quarter, he was getting open like crazy. And then late in the fourth quarter, he started to make some plays and try to get us back into the game. But, you know, Cooper's been phenomenal too. I would say, Anthony, outside of the Josh Gordon season in 2013, he's been the Browns' best and most consistent receiver we've had in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's played very well. And, you know, and that's even with a backup quarterback too. So you have to, I think be pretty excited, you know, to see what Cooper can do the rest of this year and next year, with the other quarterback. So, he's done a phenomenal job. You know, I know we talked early when we did our season predictions, we did like an over under thing. And I said that he would definitely have like over 1,000 yards. I think he's well on the pace of doing that. I think we'll get it. And I said that, he was out there with lots of proof, you know, to the rest of the league, especially to the Cowboys who traded him. You know, the compensation that the Browns gave up was not very much, and definitely gone out there every week and done very well. So, you know, it's nice that we have I would say a number one receiver, and Cooper has done a very nice job through these first 10 games, and I think over these last 7 games, you'll start to see even more from him as the quarterback situation improves.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, him and Donovan Peoples-Jones have the 1 and 2 spots locked down, at least for the next couple of years. And then if they can add somebody in the draft, whether it's the second or third round, that home run threat, that Gabe Davis type, that, you know, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill type with speed that can rack up yards after the catch. If they can find someone like that in the second or third round, or even in the middle rounds, and I know they were probably hoping Anthony Schwartz could be like that. I don't see that in him right now, but if they can find someone like that, and then you're starting to see David Bell make more of his opportunities, that wide receiver room is going to look really nice for Deshaun Watson for the next several seasons, I think, here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think they really factored having Jakeem Grant too this year, and obviously that was a big loss at the start of the season. You know, I think he would have helped this offense to do some different things with his speed. But yeah, if they could find, you know, that one guy who's the burner, that one guy that could just take the top off defenses play after play after play, and can consistently catch the football, I think that's the guy that they need to find. If they're able to find that, you're going to unlock a lot of different things within this offense that schematically gets a lot of people open. There's no doubt about that. The guys consistently get open in this defense. Where it'll really help is the running game, because the box has been so crowded recently. If you're able to stress these defenses out, that's going to bode very well for Nick Chubb and others too.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Nick Chubb today, you know, he was 14 carries for 19 yards. It's probably the worst game of his career. He had some flashes in the receiving game early on. Jacoby found him on, you know, check downs and a screenplay, 3 catches, 48 yards. But, you know, the running game was just not there today. I know Kareem Hunt had 5 carries for 32 yards, but even him, like Anthony, he looks so much slower now in terms of a runner. Like, I don't know what's happened to Kareem. I don't know if he's like got 1 foot out the door, like he's ready to move on. I know, you know, there was talk at the deadline that he could have been moved and maybe he wanted to move on. But like the running game as a whole was bad today. Obviously the offensive line just does not look as physical as they have in recent memory as we've had over the years. Obviously Conklin got hurt late in the game, got stepped on. Posick was out. You know, it's just the offensive line wasn't good today. And I think that led to and all credit to Buffalo as well, because they have one of the best defensive lines in football. But, you know, Nick Chubb just got swallowed up every time he ran the ball today. And it just did not bode well offensively. It forced Jacoby to throw more, obviously. But the running game was not good. And I think credit that was just to Nick Chubb. He did not play well either.
Can I ask you a question about play calling?
Yes.
Too?
Let's go.
With a backup center, why are we running two consecutive quarterback sneaks in short yardage situations?
You know what? Like, that was mind-boggling to me. I got it the first time. You know, Jacoby's been lights out for the most part. I think he only had one failed QB sneak prior to coming to Cleveland, and he's been automatic all season long for the most part. I don't understand that. Like, I don't even know if anybody asked Stefanski this after the game, but that was bad. Like, that was bad play calling by Stefanski there. And, you know, he's to blame today for some stuff that happened offensively. Like, when I think it was in the first half, we had six possessions in Bills territory and we only came away with 10 points. Like, we got in the red zone and the offense went anemic. Like, I don't understand what Stefanski was doing today. And I know some people think I'm a homer and like, we'll always defend Stefanski. It was not a good day for him as a play caller. And it's the last couple of weeks have not been good for him. I will say that.
Yeah, I that one was a definite head scratcher. I didn't understand that. I'm sure the percentages said that, you know, he's going to get it one of those two times, but you know, that's just was bad play calling, especially with the situation with the offensive line. I don't understand it, and you know, it's shame. I guess you didn't get asked about it, like you mentioned, but you know, that was a key situation there, obviously, and it would have been nice to have that one.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things today that I wish we could have got back and done over. It was just not a good performance overall. Like we said, the box score, people that didn't watch the game will look at the box score and think like Browns fans are just overreacting. But if you watch what we had to watch today, it was not pretty at all. Anthony, is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap things up here?
I don't think so. I think we've exhausted a good chunk of this. And my voice is getting tired too, just because all this coughing that's been so consistent. But you know, they got a lot of work to do this week to prepare for Tampa Bay. It's funny. Not only do we have that, but we have Ohio State, Michigan on Saturday. Then we got a Michigan quarterback coming to Cleveland on Sunday, so hopefully he's in a pretty bad mood come Sunday. I know he's been in a bad mood all year long with everything that's gone on. But just maybe a little bit of extra would be nice.
Oh, he's in a bad mood, and he's been playing lights out since the divorce, and probably with all the stuff coming out after the divorce, he's probably not happy right now. And if Ohio State beats Michigan, he'll even be more pissed off rolling into Brown Stadium on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that one. That I'll just say that right now.
Yeah, I hopefully they're able to, you know, move the ball. You know, that is a tough defense they have too. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay does. I'm sure we'll talk about it maybe with the holiday. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get together before the game. We'll try to, but you know, it's not going to be an easy game per se, but they definitely excuse me, being at home, they definitely got a shot to win it.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd will be raucous at First Energy Stadium, whether it's good or bad.
So. I don't think so.
You don't think
No, this is the time of year, especially with the record, that it starts to dwindle a little bit. You always see like that late arriving crowd. At least that's what I've noticed over my couple seasons there. you know, being a season ticket holder. I noticed later in the year when the records start to it's 3-7 now. I know it won't be completely full. I'll tell you that. And I don't know what the weather is supposed to be like, but it's not going to be like it normally is. Not like for that Monday night game a few weeks ago.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially the holiday weekend. Be interesting to see how much of the crowd really shows up. Cause I know judging by Twitter, and you know, Twitter is a small sample size, but they are really pissed off with this team right now. And with good reason, they're not playing well. The fans expected a little more out of a team starting a backup quarterback the first 11 games. Obviously the defense, you know, there was high expectations this year, but I get the frustration cause I'm frustrated as much as anybody right now with this team. But we'll see how it shakes out next Sunday against Tampa. Like Anthony said, we'll try to get back and do an episode sometime this week. We got the holidays and everything going on this week. So we'll do our best to get another episode out. If not, we'll catch y'all next Sunday after the game and we'll break that one down for sure. In the meantime, you guys can follow Anthony on Twitter at Anthony Jokey. Follow me on Twitter at Jack McCurry 08 and follow us on Twitter at the Dogland, as well as on Facebook. Make sure you guys check out Dogs by Nature. They do some fantastic work on the site over there. Check out the other podcast on the feed, The Dogs Table. They do some fantastic work as well. And as always, whether they win or lose, we'll always say, go Browns.